Hi, I'm Dave Wolford, and you're listening to Driving the Future, the official podcast from Continental Express. Each month, I get joined by fellow drivers, operations staff, shop personnel, and we get to share stories and tips on all things about truck driving. Dave Wolford here, and I'm here with Phil Knoll, and we're going to go over this month, winter driving, everybody's favorite subject this time of year. Whether it's your first year driving in the winter or whether you've got 30 years driving in the winter, the approach to safety doesn't really change. Depending on the situation and the weather, you still have to stay in control of your vehicle and above all else, do everything as safely as possible. So we got Phil here with me, and he's pretty new to Continental in the safety department, but he has 30 years of safety experience in law enforcement. And so we're going to go over some of this stuff together about winter driving, some of the do's and don'ts, some of the dangers, and maybe what to do and what not to do if you find yourself in a bad situation. So Phil, you've got the law enforcement background and much more years of experience in safety than I do. What do you think would be the number one top, without a doubt, thing that you would tell new drivers when they find themselves in a bad situation with the weather?
Well, the first thing is they have to get there first, which usually is determined by their speed. They have to slow down for the road conditions. Mm-hmm. And just because the speed limit might be 55, 65, 70, wherever they are, the road conditions will determine their speed limit.
Yeah.
Period. And I'm going to say that probably 99% of the crashes that occur weather-related are from speed, just going too fast.
And that's probably a well-known statistic. It's widely talked about.
Yeah.
You hear no shortage of pullover, stop, if you're not, you know, if the weather gets bad, you slow down. So what would you tell like a new driver or somebody that's, you know, out there and they're going along and the weather's not too bad, but then all of a sudden it is, and you're driving down the road. Now, like say for instance, I had a personal situation driving with this company where I was coming up through Ohio, heading north on interstate. It was chilly out, but it wasn't bad. The roads were perfectly clear. All of a sudden, I'm going along 65 miles an hour. Had a little bit of mist on the windshield. Didn't think anything of it. Temperature was dropping. Got a little more misty. Within a mile or so, I'm still going 60, 65. All of a sudden, I noticed the road looks like glass.
Yeah.
In front of me first. And I went, oh crap, you talk about a butt pucker.
Yep.
I know, I'm like, that's ice. And I know the weather had just started, so the ODOT hadn't been out to spray or preach. And I'm going 65 miles an hour and I'm heading on an ice rink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, the worst thing you could do would be hit your brakes.
Okay.
Obviously, we don't want the trailer coming around. We want to stay straight down the road. Obviously, you'll need to get off your gas, get off the accelerator, and slow down as quickly as possible without braking. If you do need to brake, it's a very light brake. The last thing we want to do is have a jackknife. Also, you have to, a lot of this is preparation too.
Yeah.
And you're pre-planning. Hopefully you're looking at the weather. You're looking mm-hmm. as you're looking at your map, you're looking at your destination, you're looking at every road you're going to be on. And hopefully at some point you would see that there's going to be a chance of some bad weather or something changing. And if you missed it, or if things go like they normally do, unprepared, unplanned, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do is just try to slow down as quickly as possible. Don't worry about how fast other traffic is going around you. Try to stay with traffic with plenty of distance between you and the vehicles in front of you. So no matter what happens, you'll be able to stop.
Well, it's good that you said that, because in my defense, I just want to throw this out. This was prior to smartphones. Okay. I had no technology to tell me what the weather was doing So that's my defense.
Okay.
Well, can't use that anymore. But
no, and Dave, you know as well as I do that, you know, you're going to get updates on the weather from safety on your iPad. Even if one of the safety people will send something out in the morning, it may not be the region you're in, but still try to pay attention to it, because you never know where you're going to be sent next.
Yeah.
And we do try to update weather conditions for everybody that we think it's going to affect.
And you guys do a fantastic job. Plus, a lot of drivers call in to give you live updates.
Yeah.
So basically, in that scenario, what I ended up doing was after, you know, I saw the situation. I had the oh crap moment.
Yeah.
So I just nice and calm. I'm like, okay, first thing I did was put the truck in neutral.
Yeah.
No brake, no gas. I just put it in neutral and I just held firmly onto the wheel. And I planted myself in the seat. I pushed myself forward so that I'm up over my wheel, so that I'm very attentive to everything around me. And I let the truck slow itself down with the grade of the road. And luckily, in about a mile and a half, 2 miles, which is about what it took me to slow down to where I started feeling like, okay, I'm at a manageable speed, even though I was still going too fast on ice. But there was a rest area right there. I got into the rest area, pulled off, took my time and got slowed, stopped. And I just took a big, deep breath. I just sat back, and my heart's just going, dunk, dunk, dunk. I was so scared. About 5 minutes later, I saw salt trucks going up the road, one in each lane. And in my experience, I'm not sure about now, but I know they've got the brine and they got pre-treat and stuff now, so it might work. But back then, all they did was throw salt down. And I thought, okay, I'm going to wait about 25, 30 minutes and that's to give that salt time to melt and work. And I did. And about 25, 30 minutes later, I pulled out and the road was wet, but no more ice.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I didn't want, you don't want to accelerate. You don't want to decelerate. You don't want to change lanes. You don't want to do anything abruptly.
Exactly right.
You can do all that stuff very, very, very gently and very controlled, almost like taking baby steps with a baby. You can drive on in any weather as long as you've got traction to go, as long as you control your speed and control the direction of the truck.
Right. And again, you can't always tell where black ice is going to exist. But for the most part, if you look at the terrain around you, obviously we know that bridges freeze before the road surfaces.
Yeah.
And again, there's two other areas, valleys, where the air does not move as much.
Yep.
And then also we have an issue with the crest of a hill.
Yeah.
Because then we get a strong crosswind. Mm-hmm. So those are three spots that you just pay extra attention to. Mm-hmm. Normally when you're running flat in the country, if there's a windbreak, you should be okay, depending on what part of the country you're in as well. Again, we all know, Wyoming and Nebraska are issues this time of year.
Always. always.
And we have to be extremely careful there. But even now, it could be Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, anywhere where weather happens, but you're not always expecting it like you do in Wyoming and Nebraska and Colorado, some of the other states where we have some up and down mountains and we know we're going to have the elevation there for snow.
Yep. Yeah. I drive through the mountains every day.
Yep.
Rain, snow, shine, whatever, all through the year.
Yeah.
And it's I like that you mentioned cresting the hills.
Yeah.
You thinking you're worrying about the wind, I'm worrying about the horizon over the crest that you can't see, yeah. Because you're trying to keep your momentum up. You're trying to get up that hill, especially if you're in bad weather or ice or snow, slippery conditions. You don't want to go too slow up that hill, or you're going to start going backwards.
Right.
So you want to keep a forward momentum. However, you don't know what's going on the other side of that hill.
Right.
And we have had incidences where you get up to the top of the hill and it goes to crest down the other side. You crest it and start down as soon as you tip the roller coaster going downward.
Yeah.
Everybody's at a dead stop because there's an accident at the bottom of that hill, and
right.
Now you're a sled, and
yep.
You're just in for the ride, and you're there you go.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot you can do in that kind of a situation when you're going down a hill. If you cannot control the descent of the vehicle, then that would be one of those points where you probably should have already been off the road.
Yeah.
It's far too dangerous to drive. So when I'm going through the mountains, no cruise control, no Jake brake.
Right.
I don't let the truck control anything. I control the whole truck. And when I'm cresting the hill, I try to work it as best you can, because you got traffic around you and you've got to respond to what's going on with everybody else. I try to make it so that, okay, I'm getting ready to go over this hill, and I know it's a big downhill, and I try to control the speed so that when I get to the top before I start going down, if I have to, maybe I can come to a stop.
Yeah.
It's preparation.
And it's, yeah, like you said, preparation, being prepared, knowing the road.
Yep.
And just experience with the truck,
yeah.
In wintertime. I mean, I've drove through 20 winters.
Yeah.
I've drove through a lot of really bad stuff. And you pick that stuff up over time. You learn the feel of the truck. You can feel the tires gripping or slipping.
Yeah.
And it's kind of touch and go. I mean,
yeah.
When you're going uphill, if you can't go fast enough and you start sliding backwards, you're a sled at that point.
Yeah.
Same thing as if you're going downhill and you lose all traction, you're a sled. So if the roads are getting that bad, especially in the mountains, in the higher elevations, it's going to be colder, it's going to be windier. You really need to think long and hard before you proceed of whether you should even be on the road or not.
Yeah, I think drivers that are, and I want to say this, not that they're brand new drivers, but drivers that have a little bit of experience sometimes get complacent. They get comfortable.
Yes.
They feel like they, I've done this before.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. And you have to be paying attention, 100%.
Yeah, I tell drivers I talk to all the time, I says, I'm out there, I'm confident, I can control the truck, I know what I'm doing, I'm confident in my abilities, and as long as I'm confident in the truck and trailer, I feel I'm relatively safe. But I'm this tall, I have, any little thing goes wrong, and I feel about this tall, about an inch tall. And I said, I almost have an accident, I almost screw up, or I find myself in a really bad situation where I would just by blind luck got out of it.
Yeah.
I'll put 3, 4, 5 steps in place in my procedural thinking when I'm driving to go, okay, what do I need to do to make sure this never happens again? And like you said perfectly, it's all in preparation.
Yeah.
Yeah, preparing for winter is not just putting an extra set of pants in your suitcase and an extra blanket on. You've got to be mentally prepared to drive. You've got to assume that the weather's going to get bad, and you've got to be ready to do what you need to do to make the truck go where it needs to go or get pulled over or whatever.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, I mean, you, one of the things that I tell a lot of people too is I'm okay when I'm driving. Do I want to be out there driving? No. Yeah. But if it's not safe to pull over where I'm at and I need to go, I'm okay. What worries me isn't me, it's everybody around me. I always assume everybody around me is a 16-year-old girl with a cell phone texting to friends. Yeah. You know?
Not always, but yeah, it's something you have to consider.
You don't know. I mean, you might like say you might have been driving for 40 years out there in all kinds of weather, but you're out there and it's really bad. Well, you don't know if the person right behind you just got their license a week ago, and you're controlling and you're doing fine and you're safe. If you stop when they don't, bam. I try very, very, very hard to make sure you're going to get people behind you and in front of you. When you get that one lane with just the tire tracks and somebody's going 15 miles an hour and you got a whole train, you're going to have that. I try very hard to keep people away from beside me. I want wiggle room. If I start to slide or shimmy, if the truck goes an inch, the trailer's going to go 5 inches before it before it straightens out. So I want that room. If I am going to shimmy or get blown over with the wind or catch a rut and slide a little bit, I don't want anybody over there.
I agree. And you also need to control your assured clear distance between you and the vehicle in front of you.
Yeah.
Make sure that no matter what happens,
you can get
stopped safely.
Absolutely.
So you can't always control the vehicle behind you because they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But you can control your vehicle by making sure that you have proper distance to get stopped.
Yep. And there are times where you get out there, and there's times where I've been out there, and if you drove for any length of time in winter, you're going to come up to that situation where you've only got one lane to drive in, and the left lane, in the right lane, and the left lane is covered, and you really can't see it well, and you've got somebody in front of you going like 5-10 miles an hour, just painfully slow. You've got to be able to back off. You don't want to jerk over and jump in the left lane and try to gun it around them. You back off, you slow down, control your speed, and then when it's safe, and I've done this before, I will never change lanes on a curve, never change lanes going up or down a hill. But if I'm on a level ground and it's a straight road and I can see, I will slow down, and when it's safe enough, I will ease over very gently and then very slowly ease up past that person, and then I might take 3-4 miles to do this and just go real slow and controlled around them, and then I can get on down the road a little quicker. But it's not a recommended thing to do, but in a situation where you feel that you can go a little faster, it's not, the road's not that bad, or that you feel the person's being overly cautious, because there is a such thing as going too slow on the freeway.
Yeah.
You can do that if it's in a very controlled situation on a straightaway. But that being said, I've seen truck after truck after truck jump in the left lane, try to get, they're ticked off because the guy's going too slow.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it nice and controlled and slow and just easing around them, they jump over and punch it, and then all of a sudden they get halfway around the person and boom, right off into the middle. And more times than not, when a semi does that, they're going to roll over.
Yeah, at least onto the side.
Yeah, you're going to end up laying on your side, and there you go. Yeah. So,
when I talked to a lot of the new drivers, which we did, at the beginning of the winter, when we knew that bad weather was coming in, we would go through our list of drivers that have not been with us through a winter. We gave them a call. We talked to them probably 10 or 15 minutes each.
Yeah.
About what we expect from them. And that's one of the things that we want to reiterate, that if the weather is bad, if the road conditions are poor, and you feel like you shouldn't be driving, you shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
And I've heard driver manager after driver manager and administrators say that, you know, we would prefer that you stop and call it a day, or wait until the road conditions are better, rather than be on your side or not make it there at all.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
A late load is not good, but we would prefer that it would be late than you in a ditch somewhere.
Well, and I know for a fact, with you know, business dealings aside, up in upper management level, when we have blizzards, when you have very bad, you know, where the road shut down thing, you call the customer and say, hey, the road shut down, hey, it's not passable, hey, there's a 30 car pileup, you know. Yep, get here when you get here. Don't worry about that. They're not on the other end going, where's my stuff? Where's my stuff?
Yeah.
You know, the customers, the shippers, the receivers are very, very understanding in those situations. And they know. They would rather get their stuff in one piece than, you know.
Lose a load.
Than lose a load or lose a life.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, and it's hard to determine. There's a fine line. Okay, when is it okay to be driving? Yeah. And when is it, okay, wow, I should have already been off the road, oh crap.
Yeah.
And I think you hit it on the head when you said it depends on your experience level and how comfortable you are. What you may say, hey, I'm off the road, I'm done.
Yeah.
I may be, well, no, it's okay, I can get through this. And and doesn't mean I will or won't, but it's, you know, it's your experience level. Yeah. It's your confidence.
When I talk to the new drivers, a lot of them had a lot of misconceptions that their truck is heavier and they can get better traction. And that's just not true.
Not on ice.
Sometimes it is on snow when it's fresh. Yeah, I understand that. Four-wheel drives can also do better sometimes on snow when it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But on a slick road, it doesn't matter what you weigh.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to slide, you're going to slide.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big things that we had to, I guess, make sure that all new drivers understood was, you know, and again, one of the questions that I received was that it's bad right here where I am for 10, 20 miles, but I know further than that I'm going to be okay. And I would just flat out tell them, I'm not driving your truck. You're going to have to make that decision on your own. Do you feel safe doing it? And if so, just, you know, proceed with caution, go slow, everything you can do. And another comment was, yeah, but everybody else is wanting to fly. They want to go, you know, they're honking their horn, they're flipping the bird, whatever they're doing. And my response to that is, they don't pay you.
Yeah.
They don't employ you.
They don't own that truck.
And they're not responsible for you or that truck. We are.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel safe, pull over. Yep. Wait until the conditions are better.
Yep. Well, yeah, one of the scariest situations, and it happens all the time. I've had it happen a handful of times, but one of the scariest things to me is March, April. Yeah. Everybody gets the feeling like winter's over, spring's coming, woohoo, and you get that evening mist, and that cold drops down. And you're driving along and the road's a little wet and you come to that overpass and all of a sudden it's ice.
Yeah.
Like you said, bridges freeze before the road. I've had that happen. And what really happens technically is you're going along at, let's say, 60 miles an hour, your truck hits that bridge, all of your wheels just start spinning. But your trailer is still on the road surface. It hasn't reached the bridge yet.
Yeah.
It's pushing. So what happens is now the truck is trying to slow down. The trailer's trying to speed up. And that's pushing this trailer one way or the other, to the left or to the right. That's how you jackknife.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know. And maybe you can tell me, and if you can't, maybe we can look it up and we can revisit this and you can let me know. Because what I have done in that situation is, I mean, any time I feel like, you know, usually there's other people out driving, you see them slipping, and oh crap, that bridge is ice. Or maybe you're the first one in line, you don't know. But take your foot off the gas, and mm-hmm. then if I feel the trailer start to go because I can tell that the wheels are slipping, I'll gently pull down on the trailer brake, which okay. slows the trailer wheels. Because if you can maintain the same speed, yeah. the same momentum, now you're not going to go left and right with the trailer. That's what's making it go left or right, is the trailer's trying to go faster than a truck.
If you can do it slow and easy, yeah, cautiously,
very gently. Good. You don't grab the thing and jerk it down yep. and lock them up, but you just pull it just enough to pull the trailer back so that you stay in line.
Right.
And believe me, it's scary as yep. can be, but you find yourself in that situation. A lot of people don't know what to do,
yeah.
and their first thing is hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Oh crap! The truck's going this way. Let me turn this way to get in front of it, and then, boom, they fold up and they're off the side of the road, and it happens in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Is that in that scenario? Would you?
That's appropriate. Well, everything you okay. just said was totally appropriate.
Okay. And I don't know that it is. Yep. I've never learned that. That's it just is. What I've done.
Yeah.
Because I know what the physics are, what's really going on, and I'm like, I need to stop the trailer without stopping the truck. And the only thing is I came up with that on my own
yeah.
over driving over the years. But so yep. that is the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Well, yep. there you go. but I will caution, I have used my trailer brake before, and pulling it down gentle and getting that trailer to lock up is a matter of a little tiny bit on yeah. that handle. You be very gentle. And unfortunately, when this happens, it's happening instantly. It happens, I mean,
yeah.
real quick. So you have to stay calm. You have to realize what's going on and react without getting overly jumpy, getting too nervous,
yeah.
you know, which
it's
easier
just,
said than done.
It's just like an accident. There's a reaction time there where
yeah.
your brain has to tell you, the rest of your body, whether it's your foot, your hand, what to do.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And it's one of those that we don't wish it upon anyone, but I know that when I was learning how to drive, mm-hmm. my father said, go out and do donuts.
I did the exact same
yeah.
thing.
And it's like
old school.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
I'm not telling everybody to go do that now, but no. what we're trying to say is that you have to get some road experience. You have to get some
yeah.
experience in Sliding. That situation
yeah.
to know and how it's going to react and how to control it.
Yeah, and you have to have a rear wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah, that'll go in reverse.
Yeah, that'll go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that's awesome that you said that, because that's, yeah. And believe it or not, I did that with my son
yeah.
when he started learning, when he wanted to learn to drive, and he got his permit, and he went out with my wife, which I know you're going to watch this and you'll probably get mad, but I don't care. He went out with my wife several times. She's a lot more emotional
yeah,
and jumpy. And he would start doing something wrong, which she would scare him, which would make the situation worse. And so I went out with him a couple times, and he looks at his dad, will you go out with me more often? You're way more calm when I screw up, and I feel a lot more safer when you're correcting me. And I said, okay. And the very next day, I looked out, and we had like 3 inches of snow on the ground. I said, come on, we're gone. He's like, huh? I said, we're going out driving. Come on. Said, Dad, do you know it snowed? I said, I sure do.
Yeah.
Better you learn how to drive in it now with me.
Yeah.
So I took him out for about 3 hours and had him drive all over. We didn't do donuts, unfortunately. It would have been really fun, but I took him out for about 3 hours and I just talked him through coming up on an intersection, what to do, how to make the curve. Watch for other people. If they're doing something you're not happy with, get away from them, slow down, whatever you gotta do. We went out and had a day of it, and he's I don't think he's had any troubles driving in the winter, which I can't credit that to me.
Yeah.
That's his to his credit, but I was so fortunate. I loved that I was able to take him out in the winter before he got his license so that he could experience that.
So what you're saying, Dave, is we should have truck drivers going out and practicing in the snow? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think that's a bad idea. Okay. In all honesty, I really don't.
I would agree with
it
that.
It would be, I mean, I actually had thought about this, yep. And I thought, you know, if you're a first-year driver, you just got your CDLs with our CDL school, or you got your CDLs through another school and you started here, I honestly think in like December, January, whenever we get the first, you know, if you see that it's going to snow, if they can work the new drivers through and take them out, you know, clear out a part of the parking lot of vehicles or whatever, and say, hey, we're going to go out here and you're going to learn and put up a little safety course.
Yeah, let's don't send them to Wyoming. I totally agree. Getting the experience, and another thing that we probably haven't talked about that we need to is just observation.
Yeah.
Watch what the other cars are doing.
Yeah.
You know, when you start counting cars and trucks in the ditch, obviously, you know that there's an issue. Even if your truck is not sliding, even if you're not sliding, you know that.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's possible. Yeah. And all those, you know, those guys that are calling in and saying, hey, everybody's just blowing by me and flipping me off. They're all mad. You know what? I've had that same experience.
Yeah.
And 5 miles up the road, they're in the ditch.
That's exactly right.
And then you just drive by and wave and smile and go, have a good day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see people, like you said, four-wheel drive, a little bit better traction.
Yeah.
They jump in that left lane and punch it. Oh, I got four-wheel drive. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Boom, off into the ditch.
Yeah, those tire ruts will eat anyone up, no matter what kind of vehicle they're driving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, but yeah, I mean, you know, of course, watch your following distance.
Yeah.
Stay in complete control of your vehicle, which, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I've gone over with quite a bit with people here and with the safety department, is don't distractive drive, but all this new technology, you know, hey, the truck will speed up for it by itself. The truck will slow down if it gets too close. Hey, the truck, you can actually let go of the steering wheel. It'll go around the curve. But you don't want to do any of that if the weather is even remotely questionable. Turn all that stuff off and maintain control. Don't put the cruise control on. Use your foot and you control the flow of that truck. And you control the gas pedal. That technology is amazing. It's wonderful. It's getting better and better every year. But in the end, whether it's sunny or whether it's winter or whatever the weather is, you have to stay in control of that vehicle. Right. And that technology is not your friend in the winter. That technology doesn't know it's snowing outside.
Yep.
That technology doesn't know if you're on dry road or wet road or if you're on ice. And if you've got the thing on where it's going to speed up and slow down to keep the distance of the vehicle in front of you, now you've got something going on where it's controlling the acceleration.
Yeah.
It may make you go faster than you want.
Yeah, and you said it earlier. You know, the lane departure, the safety issues with the truck itself.
Mm-hmm.
But don't use the cruise, period.
No.
Absolutely never. Don't use it when you're in bad weather.
Nope.
You know, you've got to feel the truck. You've got to actually, and the same thing with distractions. We've not really talked about that, but during bad weather, I would prefer that you not have the radio up real loud. You not have a lot of the other distractions. Keep your phone away from you.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you need to, there's no one you need to text. There's no calls you need to take at that moment.
Nope.
You can wait until you're in a safe haven or wait till you're at your destination and then check your phone.
Yep.
If you do need to check your phone, it's time to get off the road, get to a rest area, get to a truck stop, get to somewhere where you can park safely, and then you can take a look at your phone. And even if that is weather updates, you know, you can always call the safety department and ask. Check your iPad. like you said, everyone now has smartphones. And with smartphones, you can check the weather, same as we can here at the safety department.
Yeah, you have a weather app on your tablet.
Absolutely, so, and all you need to do is check for road conditions in the area you're in, check the radar. There's a lot of things you can do. And if for some reason you just can't do that with your location, whether you have poor cell service or whatever it is, get to somewhere where you can call us. And, you know, AIR never does it all the time. He updates drivers on road conditions and whether roads are opened or closed if they're out west. But also just weather conditions, wind conditions, gusts in certain areas. We talk about it every day. So, but again, there's no reason why Dave can't do that in his truck, same as we can do it in the safety department, if it's done at the proper time and place.
I've been on the phone with Aaron many times where he's asking me for live updates going through the mountains in West Virginia. Hey, what's the roads like? What's the weather looking like? Are you guys doing okay? Because I keep in touch with a lot of the guys I drive with.
Sure.
And we talk all the time. And so when we're all going, you know, three of us going one way, three of us coming the other, we're all going to be driving in that area. So when we get bad weather, we're in constant contact with each other, so that we try to help each other get through or get pulled over or get safe. Never have the radio on. I'm always sitting up in my seat. I'll be up on the edge of my seat. I'll have both hands on the wheel. When you're driving, like you're using your five senses. You've got to use your sight. You've got to use your feel. You have to feel the truck.
Absolutely.
And you have to hear what's going on. If something sounds different, if something's not right, you got to listen for other vehicles trying to come around you. You know, distractions. The distraction is the weather, and you're trying to maneuver through it. You need to be 100% attentive to everything going on around you.
And you said it, that you know, you communicate with the other drivers that you know that are in your area and are going to be either just gone through or going to be going through the same situation that you're in now. Or soon to be.
And I think that probably more than anything has helped me get through a lot of winters, is having other drivers. Hey, there's an accident here. Hey, there's about 2 inches here. Hey, there's ice, but watch out. Or hey, once you get around that curve, it opens up and you're fine. Just be careful. Just having that constant assurance of somebody else that's, or guys coming the other way, you know, they've already been up north, they're coming south. Well, they see what's going on the freeway. You're coming south, you're going north, so we're talking to them, they're talking to us, and we're kind of feeding each other information and deciding, okay, what's the safest course of action? Now you've got, you know, like you said, I don't want to be messing with my phone trying to call people or messing with my weather stuff, but, you know, if I've already got my headset on, we're already talking, then there's times I'll put my headset on and before I leave Ohio, before I leave Streetsboro, and I don't take that headset off till I get out to Gaffney, and my ears hurting like crazy, and it doesn't do good for my hairdo, but you know, like you said, you're getting those situations. I'm not calling a bunch of different people. I'm not taking my headset on and off and hanging it up. I won't even grab, you know, my drink. It's 100% what is going on right here, and what do I need to do to stay on the road? So this is really interesting. My very first year driving wasn't even with Continental. It was the school, the company I went with out of school. They sent me up into Canada. It was March. I'm coming through Sudbury, going into Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I went in through like Vermont, New Hampshire, something like that up there. Went across 17, and I was coming down to deliver somewhere in upper Michigan. I'm on a one lane each way road. I'm coming into Sudbury, instant blizzard, just like that.
Yeah.
Before I knew it, before I got a mile further down the road, there was already 3 inches on. Before I got another half a mile, there's another 3. But by the time I got out of this, there was probably snow piled up as high as my the tires of my truck.
Yeah.
I'd never drove a semi in the winter. On a one-lane road.
Yeah.
And before I got too far, and this was a one-lane road with no sides. There was no emergency sides. It was, if you got to the white line, it was, there was a ditch. There was no emergency lane or nothing. I couldn't see the road.
Yeah.
I'm the one in front. I look back, everybody's behind me. Nobody in front of me. No tire tracks to follow.
Yeah,
I was scared to death. I slowed down to about 10 miles an hour, 10, 15 miles an hour. I'm inching along, and all I'm doing is watching the sides of the road to try to determine from the terrain that I could see that was covered in snow, okay, where's the edge of the road?
Yeah.
You know, talk about being scared. That was one of those days where, like, I don't get paid enough to do this. I don't get paid enough to do this. Yeah. I don't get paid. But thank the good Lord, I got about 5-6 miles of that, which felt like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cleared up. And then I'm like, oh. And I'll tell you, that was so scary. I can do a lot of stuff, and I'm comfortable in my truck. The one thing that will make me come to a stop and say, nope, I'm done, ain't gonna take my vision away. And if I can't see where I'm going or see what I'm doing, we're done.
Yeah.
You know? One other thing that is really good to do, because whether the road's fine or not, you're gonna have plenty of times where ice is gonna form on your windshield.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have your heater on, it's gonna melt, but it's not gonna melt, and then wipers aren't gonna wipe it off. And in no time at all, suddenly you got this big sheet of ice, and now you're having trouble seeing. That happens all the time, happens every year. This is what I do to combat that. I turn on my defrost, I turn it up as hot as it'll go, 100% on the defrost, and I turn the fan speed up as high as it'll go, which eventually will cook me in the truck. I'll be in there just, you know, it'll feel like a sauna. So I'll crack my window, you know. But if you do that, it'll melt, and hopefully eventually the stuff on the window will melt enough that the wipers will catch it and fling it off. Doesn't always work. But if that does not help, that's the best thing I can tell you to try and do. If that's not good enough, then you need to stay in the right-hand lane. You need to maintain a slower speed, and you need to look for places to pull over safely so that you can get out and clack your wiper blades,
yeah,
clean off your window, because your wiper blades will get gunked up with ice and they'll become ineffective, and then you'll have a big sheet of ice on your windshield, and you're trying to look through a little section about this big, and you know, and that gets, that happens every year. It happens multiple times a year, whether you're up here in Ohio or down in West Virginia in the mountains or not.
Yeah.
You're gonna hit that. That's what I do to combat that. And it's been successful. There's times where even that's not good enough, but then, like I said, you don't want to be in the middle lane of a 3-lane highway and then not have visibility,
yeah,
because of that. So when that starts to happen and you see that it's going to continue to happen, I always get in the right lane, and then I, you know, maintain a slower speed so that I don't have to worry about the people in front of me, let them go down the road. And then as I'm going, I'm looking for safe spots to pull over to safely, you know, get my visibility back.
And that is one thing that we have not talked about yet, Dave, that you've mentioned a couple times, but not really directly, is that we don't want to be in the left lane.
No.
We do not want to be in the center lane if we can keep from it. Now, obviously, if it's a triple lane, and you have a lot of entrances and exits. People are coming and going.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be cognitive of that and make sure that you allow people to merge onto the highway. But for the most part, we do not want to be in the left lane. We want to be in the right lane.
Yeah. It's usually just a lower lane. It's you want to be somewhere. You always want to give yourself an out, whether an out is a lane to get into, right, to get away from somebody, to keep from having an accident, or if it means an emergency or ramp, the exit ramp, entrance ramp, or emergency side of the road.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle lane, you've got there's no out to actually get off the freeway. Yeah. You actually have to cross another lane of travel before you can get somewhere where you can safely stop, which just adds an extra layer of danger or to your situation, especially in the winter.
Yeah. If the roads are that poor, we don't want you to be passing vehicles. We want you to be in the right lane and just stay safe. That's what it comes down to. It. Take your time, be safe.
Yep.
And if you don't feel like you can do it safely, probably shouldn't be out there. We should be parked somewhere.
Yeah, I've had twice in my experience where it got so bad that so quickly. Once in Cincinnati, that time I spoke about earlier, and once in Virginia, where they had a massive downpour rain, and then it froze over, and they had probably 3 inches of ice. And they had the cops came out and just shut the whole freeway down before it got ice. I mean, because it was getting so bad, they couldn't put pre-treat down because of the rain. They couldn't get ready for it. And then the weather just, the temperature plummeted. And I only know it was 3 inches of ice because I saw the remnants of it the next morning on the side of the freeway where we finally got going again. But they literally came out and just shut the freeway down. And you're sitting there in the middle of the freeway, you know. So make sure you have blankets. Make sure you have extra things to drink. Make sure you have snacks, extra food, something you can eat that you don't need a microwave or anything like that. Make sure you bring, I always have baby wipes and things like that with me. Just make sure, you know, it's hard to prepare for every eventuality, but if you're driving in the winter conditions, you need to have enough stuff in the truck. I always leave the house and assume, hey, I might spend the night on the freeway. What do I need in the truck? And thank goodness at the end of the week, I'm putting it back in the house, but you never know when you're gonna need it.
That's right. It's just as simple as being prepared. You don't know if you're gonna be there for 6 hours or 2 days.
Yeah.
And just act like you're not gonna have accessibility to a restroom, a restaurant, you know, whatever it's gonna take, you have to be prepared.
Okay. Yeah, and in closing, we could go on and on about this subject. It's something we talk about every year. But every one of us has to go through it.
Yeah.
And it only takes one bad day and one bad storm could really change your life and the life of your loved ones. We want everybody to get home safe, rain, snow, or shine, whatever. But my final thoughts, slow it down, be very cautious about your movements, and be very in tune with everything you're doing as you stay in complete control of the truck as much as possible.
I'll second that. I think that distracted driving, your speed, and your following distance. If we can take care of those three, I think we're golden.
Very good. Again, this is our podcast on winter driving. Thanks for checking in, and we'll see you next time.